Welcome to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady.
Today's message is entitled, Considering the Call.
Stay tuned and be blessed, renewed, and revived by this powerful message.
Romans chapter 11. Thank you for all of your prayers. Just one verse of scripture. Romans 11:29, if you have it, say amen. The scripture reads, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. For the gifts, the calling of God are without repentance. I want to just take the next few moments and minister from this subject, considering the call. Considering the call. The call of God has been, for many, many years, has been one of the most misunderstood and unexplored and unaddressed things that I can remember in the church. It's really only been over the last maybe 15 years or so, if that, that I have heard so many preachers preach about destiny and about purpose. As I was coming up in the church, that language was not prevalent. We didn't really hear a lot about that. And I thank God because we need people talking to us about destiny and talking to us about purpose. It is overall helped the entire body of Christ because it helps us to understand that we have been called to do more than just sing and more than just shout and more than just come to church and more than just work our jobs and more than just periodically listen to a preacher preach. It's helped us to understand that there are things that God has called us to do on an individual level, and it's not just about the person that's on the platform. But it is about each and every one of us have been called to do something for God. And that message, the message that it's helped us. It's helped us to understand that God sent us to the earth. And before he sent us to the earth, he tucked purpose down in our earthen vessel. And he gave us an assignment. And he's calling us to fulfill that assignment. And may I tell you that every one of us at one day in our life will have to give an account for the assignment that God has given to us. And it's important that we understand that, because one day we will stand before him and we will have to explain to him why we chose not to use the gifts and the callings and the things that he's put down inside of us. And so that's why I'm excited about the message of purpose, because it helps me to hunger for it and to reach for it. You see, what God does is God whispers things in our spirit, and then he stands back and he makes us desire those things that he has whispered in our spirit. He whispers things down in us. He gives us an assignment. He whispers his purpose. He whispers his desire. He whispers all of that stuff inside of us. And then he stands back, and all of a sudden we're wondering why we are desiring what we are desiring. Why do I desire to go to the house of God? What makes me desire to open the word of God? Nobody in my family has ever done that. But there's something inside of us called destiny, called purpose, that has made us hungry. It's made us hungry to know God. That's the overall feel that I got yesterday. People were reconsidering, and their appetite was wet because they just thought maybe there's more to church than this. I got so tickled at Pierce Morgan, who is like, "Whoa! I have not quite had such an uplifting experience." And I wanted to say, buddy, we have it all the time like that. But you know, ever how God does it, it's amazing to me. But that there's something in us that's made us overall. When I say the desire of all nations, that what I'm saying is that God has awakened something in us. He's awakened people around the world. He's awakened things in us, and it's caused us to want to know his original intention in our life. I want to know. I was not just here to be Rosie Angel's daughter, or to be Joby Brady's wife, or to be Lana and Tina's mother, Tina and Nina's mother, or to be the baby's grandmother, or to be your pastor. But God has an original intention for us. There's more for you than what you are doing. I said, there's more for you than what you are doing. And it's that hunger for the original intention. Lord, what is it that you originally, all this other stuff is great and it's a blessing. It's the benefits that come with the life that you've given me. But really, what have you intended? What spot was vacant that you said, let me send Cheryl into the earth in 1960 so that she'll be ready to fill that spot? I'm 51. Don't waste any time trying to count that up. I saw some of y'all's mind wander. I don't want you to miss it. I'm 51. At some point it makes you hungry to know. You might not be hungry when you're 10, and you might not be hungry when you're 15, but some people are. Some people it takes us a little bit longer. But when you start getting older and you start realizing how close you are to the end of things, it really makes you say, God, do I have time to finish what you've called me to do? And you start, it's that hunger that makes us press like we press and reach like we reach. It's that hunger that makes us stand there with our hands lifted up saying, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord. And we do that not because we're so holy and so righteous and so perfect, and we don't even do it because we feel like doing it every time, but we do it because it helps us to have a better understanding that what happens is after you lived a while, you start realizing, if I want to understand what this product is supposed to produce, I need to consult the manufacturer. Right. And every product has got a book. And if you'll read the book, if you'll read the manual, this is what Pastor Winan said yesterday. This right here is the manual for the product that you are. You are the product, but that book right there is the manual. And so it makes you want to get into the book. And sometimes you don't even know where to start and you don't even know where to begin. But there's a hunger. Y'all know what I'm talking about? A hunger. Have you ever just been hungry and you couldn't really find the right thing? And you found yourself just eating everything. You know, you tasted a little bit of this and you joined in with that group right there and then you went over there. At the end of the day, you just end up falling on your face and say, God, I thirst for you. I'm hungry after you. That's what makes the worshiper a worshiper. Because they are hungry to know what God has called them to do. And so since we are hungry, and it makes us inquire of the Lord. Touch somebody and tell them, I am an inquirer. I am an inquirer of the Lord. And one of the things that makes me inquire is that I realize that time is a gift to me. And I cannot waste my time just doing anything and everything. I've got to know the purpose of God for my life. Now, don't think that once you tap into purpose, even though purpose is fulfilling, don't think that once you tap into the purpose of God, that everything will always be perfect and wonderful and fabulous and grand. And glorious, because as a matter of fact, you can be straight up in the middle of the will of God, in the purpose of God, and still have to cry sometimes, and still worry sometimes, and still have questions that you have no answers to sometimes. You can be right up in the middle of God, in the will of God, and God will do something that'll make you feel like, I ain't even saved. I don't even know you. I don't know what you're doing. I thought I knew you. I told people I knew you. Have you ever told people God was going to do something? And he did the complete opposite. There are times that you will just have to say, I don't know what's going on. David went through those kind of periods as well. David, when he went back to get the ark and he put it on the cart and he loaded up the ark and he brought it back, and you know the story. It's a very familiar story. The milk cow that was pulling the ark, it got spooked and the ark fell to the ground, and David's right hand man, whose name was Uzzah, a good deacon in David's little church, he was a good man. He reached out to stabilize God because God was falling. The ark was falling. And so he wanted to stabilize it. He just wanted to do a good thing. And as he reached out to stabilize it, God struck him dead. Well, that left David speechless, because David didn't understand why God would strike a good man dead. That's my best deacon. What you doing killing my best deacon? I need more like him. I don't need you to take him. I need you to let him live. And this is the thing. David was really trying to do God's will, but he was doing it David's way. And you can't always do God's will your way. So when that happened, it kind of messed David up. And so David had to pause and he had to stop. And he would say, okay, if this ain't the flow, if this ain't the way you want it done, then just show me how you want it done. Every now and then it'll do us good to just stop and pause and recalibrate ourselves and say, okay, God, how? How do you want to do it? How, God? Just show me how you want it done. When you're hurting and when you've made mistakes and when you're confused and when you have concerns and you have questions, a lot of time people will use that as an excuse to quit. That's not the time to quit. That's the time to just pause and ask God, how do you want it to happen? How do you want it to go down? I've got to know. I got to know how you want it done. I got to know the way you want it to work out. I got to know your will. I got to know your purpose. And I don't care who's doing what. I've got to know what you have ordained for me. I can't waste my time running after something because my best friend is running after it. I got to know your will for my life because my days are numbered. My days are numbered. And as my days are, so shall my strength be. So while I've got strength, I got to run after you. I got to know how to do what it is that you've called me to do. Because I don't care how much money you make, and I don't care how influential your friends are. It doesn't matter how much you accumulate in life. Nothing will bring the sense of achievement. Nothing will bring accomplishment. Nothing will bring fulfillment like knowing the purpose of God for your own life. You got to know it in a personal way. You got to know it in a personal way. And when you know it, you stop comparing yourself with other people because you realize, I didn't got time to do that. It ain't about that. It's about you doing your thing and me doing my thing. The Bible says that the gifts and the callings are without repentance. And if you grew up in church like I did, I grew up hearing that. I grew up hearing people preach that the gifts and the callings were without repentance. And usually when I heard that, they were referring to somebody that was gifted or somebody that was greatly talented or somebody that was accomplished and skilled and somebody who God had chosen, but they really wasn't living a good moral life, but they were still doing their thing. They were doing they were using those gifts. And so what I always heard, well, you know, the gifts and the callings, people say, how in the world can they keep doing that? Well, the gifts and the callings are without repentance. And what that meant was that they might not have repented, but they were still gifted and they were still talented. And it is possible to be gifted and talented and not have repented. But I don't really think that was the purpose in God saying those in those words right there. That the gifts, that's not, that there's a bigger picture. Hit somebody and tell them, see the bigger picture. I don't think God was trying to take that text and make an excuse for somebody that was gifted and somebody that was called, but they chose to live immoral. I don't think that there's a bigger meaning to that. What I do think is God is, that the greater purpose of that scripture is that God was saying, look, it's about me. It's about me repenting. He's saying that if I call you or if I give you a gift, I am never going to repent for giving you that gift. I am never ever going to change my mind about that gift, because when God calls a person, he calls you and he'll apprehend you. You can be running in your own direction 100 miles an hour and he will throw a wall up in front of you and he will move until you recognize that it's him, and it'll make you stop dead. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And this is the thing, since he knows you and he's called you, he knows what you have already done. He knows what you are doing. He knows the things that you are capable of doing that you might not even know that you are capable of doing. And none of that changes his mind about what he's called you to do. Before he called you, he knew you. So whatever you do, you're not going to shock God. Now, you might shock yourself. You certainly might shock your mama. You might send her into a complete state of shock. You might shock your aunts and your uncles and your cousins, and you might even shock the preacher. But I'm going to tell you, somebody I will never be shocked at anything you do is God. I said, you'll never be able to shock God. But when God calls you, there is nothing. I think that verse is saying that when I call you, there's nothing that you're going to do that I don't know that you're going to do. And so there's nothing you can do to make me reverse my call. He said, when I call you, I want you. I want you. And that is why I call you. So when I call you, you are going to come to me. When the word leaves my mouth and it calls your name, my word will not return unto me void. So I'm going to do whatever I got to do. But at the end of the day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So when you are talking about being called by God, there are just certain things that we need to understand. And being called expresses that God has a desire to award us. There's a reason that you are in church today and some of your friends are not in church today. You heard the call. Something in you said, I want to go. I don't understand it. I don't even feel like I ought to be there. But something in you wouldn't let you sleep in. Something in you made you get up. Do you understand that that was not you. That was the God that was inside of you. And so when he calls you because he wants you, and he does it because he wants to do something in your life. So then there's something in you that just gravitates to him. It's like gravity. It's the call. See, if he calls you, I don't know why I keep saying that, but if he calls you, it's because he wants you. Your mama might not have wanted you, and your daddy might not have wanted you, but God said, I want you. That's why you feel what you feel. If he calls you, that means he has an interest inside of you. That means that he has a passion for you. That means that he wants you. He wants you in the palm of his hand because he has an affection for you. He has a plan and he has a purpose for you. When he calls you, his call will be so strong in your life that it will interrupt you. It will upset you. It will disrupt you. It will interfere with things and plans that you had for yourself. Does anybody bear witness with what I'm talking about today? See, if you don't understand him and if you don't understand that God has called you, see, number one, he will disrupt your life. God's calling can be disruptive and it can also be destructive. It can be disruptive and destructive. And the reason I say it can be destructive is that God has a way, if you don't listen to him, he has a way of setting up a ruckus in your life. Oh, he'll kick up a storm like you ain't never seen. If you won't give God your attention, he will do whatever he's got to do to get your attention. I said he can reduce you down to your lowest common denominator. And you sitting there thinking, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I'm going, what door am I going to choose? Door number one, door number two, or door number three? And he will turn around and blow door number one down and door number two down. And so there you are standing at door number three saying, okay, I guess I'm going to go through door number three. You say, I'll take that one right there. You know why? Because God has disrupted and he has blown up all of your plans. He will tear down. He will ask Jonah. He will tear up an entire ship. He'll send a storm that'll just mess everybody on the boat up simply because he's after one man. Anybody else could have got on that ship and it would have been okay. But the minute that Jonah stepped his foot on that ship, he said, oh, I'm not having it out of you. Not my child. I sent for you to go. I said for you to go to Nineveh, and you think you're going to go to Tarshish. You watch and see. I will rock this boat. I will send a storm. I'll have everybody crying out to their God. I'll tear up an entire neighborhood to get to one person. I'll rip through an entire family to get to one person, because when I call you, you, baby, are mine. You are marked. Tell somebody, you are a marked man. You are a marked woman. And I tell you that because when he calls you out of his passion. He calls you out of his desire for you. No one that has ever come to God has just simply wandered in there and made it on their own. We made it in there to God simply because he has a passion for our lives. And anytime you've been blessed to find him, anytime you've been blessed to find God. It's because he kept calling you until you found him. I could have never just said, oh, there is God. No, but I kept following the voice. He would just talk to me, and I'd be like, where's that voice? I hear that voice. Draw me nearer. Yeah, I feel it. I feel the voice. I hear the voice. Something makes me get up on my day off and go to church because I hear, child, what you do this weekend? Well, I went to church. Church on a weekend? What's wrong with you? This was your time to party. No, I heard something calling me. I can't explain it. Oh, will you just touch somebody and tell him I heard him call me? And the call of God, the call of God is, it's the invitation of God. See, you got to be invited. I said the call of God is the invitation. So you cannot just stumble upon or wander or stagger into the presence of a king. It just doesn't work like that. When you come before a king, protocol is very, very important. See, God is a God of order. He is a God of protocol. Now, we don't really know a whole lot about that today because we just do what we want, when we want, how we want. And, you know, but there was a day that protocol really mattered in the church. It really did matter. It mattered. I remember them saying, okay, you don't walk down the center aisle when the preacher's preaching. You know, they would just put stuff up and rope it off. We roped it off with the whole crowd right here. They would say, you don't just get up at any time. You don't get up and walk out when the preacher's preaching or when the saints are praying. And God forbid that you would ever walk out in the middle of an altar call. What is wrong with you? You are standing in the way of sinners. You are sitting in the seat of the scornful when you do things like that. You are causing somebody to possibly miss eternity with God. Because you want to get out of the parking lot before everybody else does? Where are you going in such a hurry? There was a day that we would leave the church until the blessing of the Lord was set over our lives because we wanted to be covered with the blood. People back then understood protocol. They understood that God was a God of order. We knew when to wear suede shoes. We knew when to wear white shoes. We knew when it was appropriate to wear hats. And I remember one time when we first came to work with Bishop Jakes, my nephew was with us, and we were setting up a sound system in some church, and he had just been working his head off trying to get that sound system set up. Church was started, and he just got all the mics plugged in, and everything was going good. And the people were singing. Bishop comes walking down the aisle, you know, like only Bishop can. And he looked at my nephew. And he'd been sweating and working, and he had forgot that he had his cap on his head. And Bishop looked at him and went, whoosh. That meant get that head off your head right now. There was a day that stuff like that mattered. But now we wear what we want, when we want, to wherever we want. Whenever we want to, because we are loose today, and we are lazy today, and we are lethargic today. Y'all ain't gonna help me, because we are the if it feels good, do it generation. If it don't feel good, don't do it. Which interferes with us understanding protocol, because and it's important that we know what that is, because God is a God of order. If you approach him, when you approach him on the basis of when and how that he says that you are to approach him. Because if you don't, you could get killed like Uzzah got killed. Eli's sons were Nadab and Abihu, and they approached God incorrectly. And because they approached God incorrectly, the Bible said that they fell dead. Because you can't just come in. You have to be called into the presence of God. I said you got to be called in to the presence of God. For you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Oh, y'all better help me today. You didn't just stumble in here. He said, I chose you. Seek the Lord while he may be found, which means that what he's saying to us is that if I see you making the slightest effort to find me, I will get in a place where you can find me. I will put myself in your path. I will put myself on your agenda. I will put myself on your course. I'll connect you with somebody that will say something to you that will wake up something in you that I put in you before the foundation of the world began. I promise I won't play hide and seek with you. When you knock, I will answer. When you call, I will answer. Oh, I will make sure that you have a way to find me when I call you. I will call you so loud, David, that even if your bed has been made in hell, you will have to hear me and come up out of it. I'll call you so loud, Lazarus, that it will pull you up out of the grave. I'll call you so loud, Jonah, that even in the bottom of the ocean, in the belly of a whale, you will hear my voice and you will cry out to me. Oh, some of us know that sound. We were crazy. We were hysterical. We were suicidal. We were crackheads. We were full of anger and rage, but we heard the call. Ooh, somebody clap your hands for the call. Heard the call, the call, the call, the call. I'm calling you, I'm calling you, I'm calling you, calling you, I'm calling you, I'm calling you, calling you, I'm calling you, I'm calling you. It's the echo of God. We've heard it for years. We've heard it our whole life. We would get in situations and somehow we knew that we were destined for more than this. We knew we were better than that. We would hear it. We would hear it over and over. Abraham, Abraham, Moses, Moses. It's the echo of God. Once has he said it, but twice have I heard it. It's the echo of God. I can't run from it. I can't hide from it. I can't get away from it. I can plug all kinds of earplugs in my ear, but I still hear it. It's everywhere I go. When I lay down, I hear it. When I get up, I hear it. It's the echo of God. Drunk, but I can still hear it. High, but I can hear it. Fornicating, but I can still hear it. Caught in adultery, but I can still hear. Oh, somebody thank him because you had an ear to hear. No matter where I go and no matter what I've done, I can hear him calling me. And his call to your life is, it's divine permission for you to get out of stuff that you didn't think you could get out of. You are looking at people today who our only reason we're out is because God gave us divine permission. He called us out. Some of us were on crack. Some of us were on heroin. Some of us were living lifestyles that would scare you today if we stood up and told you what they were. You might not even want to hear me preach or hear your neighbor sing if we told you what we did. But the good thing about that is when God called us, we had divine permission to say, oh, bye. That was then, but this is now. I used to do it, but I'm not it. Hey! Thank you. Stuff that I struggled to get out of. Stuff that I just had to press I couldn't get out of. When God called me, it all of a sudden let me go. Like Pharaoh said, let my people go. That's what God did. He'll overpower the Pharaoh that's holding you. He'll speak to the Pharaoh. He'll speak to the habit. He'll speak to the addiction. You'll go to bed addicted, but then you wake up and that addiction is gone because God spoke to it and it had no other choice but to let you go.
Thanks for listening to Connections with Cheryl Brady. If you would like to order a copy of today's message, Considering the Call, visit our online store at CherylBrady.com or call 888-CHERYL-8. Again, thank you for listening to Connections with Pastor Cheryl Brady.